ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, yesterday we spoke about congruence. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that la ilaha illallah muhammad rasulullah, which is the kalima tayyiba, which is the declaration of tawheed, he says the actual meaning or the understanding of this is to understand that everything happens only and only by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Shaykh, Hazrat Nuri Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to say, La ilaha illallah, nahi koi maabood hai siwai Allah ke. Aap farmate the ke, nahi koi hajat rawa hai siwai Allah ke. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. He used to say, there is no one who fulfills any need except Allah. Now, this is the rububiyat part or the rububiyat aspect of the kalima. La ilaha illallah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, is the uluhiyat aspect of the kalima. So he used to say that to understand the kalima is to accept this, that there is no one who fulfills any need of a person other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we say any need, what do we mean? We have to, that's the reason why with the mashayikhin and the ulama ul-haq, the importance of tadabbur wa tafakkur, the importance of reflection, the importance of introspection was huge. Today, that has disappeared from our lexicon. We are only focused on the words. So, we read the words. In some cases, depending on what it is, whether it is the Quran, whether it is some of the hadith, we memorize the words. And we think that we are ulama because I have read this book, and I have passed this course, that course. I have memorized so much of Quran. I have memorized so many hadith. Therefore, I am an alim. You are not an alim. You are somebody who has ma'lumat. You are somebody who has some information. That information has not been converted into knowledge. That information has not been converted into insight because that information has never been acted upon. You never act upon the information. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say, Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu used to say that in our time, we find it difficult to memorize the words of the Quran, but we find it very easy to act upon those words. Yeah. We find it difficult to memorize the words of the Quran, but we find it easy to act upon those words. He said a time will come when people will have no difficulty. They will find it easy to memorize the words of the Quran, but they will have difficulty acting on it. For example, if I ask you, is alcohol haram? You will say haram. Do you drink alcohol? No, sir, I don't drink alcohol. Can you recite for me the three ayat referring to alcohol in the Quran? You might say, no, I don't know. I do not remember the ayat. I know they are there. Maybe I don't even know there are three. Yeah. But do you drink? I don't drink. Now you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, compared to somebody who knows all the three ayat, he can recite them with tajweed. That he will tell you the whole tafsir of the three ayat, but he drinks. So who is better? Who has actual knowledge? The one who memorized those ayat or the one who is acting on the ayat? Supposing I tell you, tell me which ayat of the Quran prohibits interest-based earnings? Ayat hai na bhai. Which ayat is there where Allah has declared war on behalf of himself and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the one who deals in interest? Which ayat, what is the ayat number? Which surah? Please recite the ayat. You might say, sir, I am sorry, I do not know all of this. But do you deal in interest? No, sir. Do you have any loans? No. Do you lend out money on interest? No. I don't do it. Will you do it? I'll never do it. Who is better? Somebody who knows the ayat, he knows all the meaning of it and so on and so forth, but he's still dealing in interest. And he's got some ta'wil, he's got some excuse for that. that excuse won't stand before Allah, but he thinks shaitan is fooling him. This is the meaning. So, I'm not discouraging you from memorizing the Quran. Please do memorize. But the point is that the Quran did not come to be memorized. The Quran did not come to be recited in a nice tune. Yeah? All of this is part of dealing with the Quran. We also memorize, we also recite, and if we recite, you must recite nicely and in a good way, and so on and so forth. But that is not the purpose of the revelation. The purpose of the revelation is to act on it, is to actually act on what Allah has ordered. So, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah said, to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is to know that everything happens from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means tawakkul Allah. Tawakkul Allah. Complete and total faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no one, la nafi wa la dharra illallah, there is no one who can cause me any benefit and there is no one who can cause me any harm illallah, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we reflect on one thing, which is, what was the reason that Rasulullah was opposed by the Quraysh in Makkah so vehemently? You know, one is, for example, I might have a point of view. You might say, no, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. But you won't try to kill me for that. You won't boycott me. You will not say, I'll never come to your house. I don't want to see your face. Don't come to my... You will not do that. Okay, I am proposing something. You will say, okay, I'm sorry. That point of view or this theory or something you are saying, I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. The Makkans did not... The Quraysh of Makkah did not do that. Rasulullah came and said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. I am the messenger of Allah, and therefore you must follow me. Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu, say La ilaha illallah and be successful and go to Jannah. If you are worshipping these idols, this will put you in trouble. So, what was so difficult? Okay, fine, alright, so that is the point of view, I'm sorry, I don't agree. They did not do this. They did not do this. They became his mortal enemies. They boycotted him. Why? Just think about it. Just reflect on this and think, what is this extremist view that the Quraysh of Makkah had with regard to Islam? You will realize the reason they had that view is because they understood the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. You and I don't understand it. Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab understood La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah better than I understand it. I won't say you, I'm saying me. Why is that? Because they knew that if I accept this, if I accept La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, then my entire life will be turned upside down from now. My whole life will have to completely change. There is no scope for any tolerance. There is no scope for any kind of interpretation. Completely my life has to change. And I will become a complete and total follower and servant of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was not acceptable to them. They said, no, we can't do this. The concept of knowing about Islam and following it optionally or following it partially did not exist with the Quraysh. They never understood Islam like this. Which is why, and what is my proof of this? My proof of this are the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. Those among them who accepted Islam, accepted it completely and totally. Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha, when she accepted Islam, there was no compromise in anything. This is La ilaha illallah. You will lose your life, I will kill you. No problem, kill me. Kill me. And so on and so on. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. We will not allow you to stay in this place. No, but we will go. What cannot be compromised is La ilaha illallah. The concept of a non-practicing Muslim did not exist. It does not exist even now, except in the minds of people who are deranged. How can you have a fasting diner? Can you have that? Is it possible? Tell me. Yeah? Fasting diner. You are either eating or you are not eating. How can you be a fasting and you say, no, I am also a diner? How are you a diner, boss? So, if you are a Muslim, you are practicing. Who is a Muslim? One who practices Islam. A Muslim is not a Hyderabadi. A Muslim is not a Saudi. A Muslim is not a Jordanian. A Muslim, the word is what? It's not a term depicting or representing a race or a nationality or a culture. It is a term depicting or representing the practice of a religion. We have separated these two things, belief and faith. With the Sahaba, there was no separation. Even with those who opposed Islam, there was no separation. They understood faith and belief as the same thing. Belief is the intellectual understanding of the concept. Faith is to have total yaqeen in that. Belief is iman, faith is yaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned that in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, right in the beginning. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And at the end of that set of ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَبِالْآخِرَتِهُمْ يُوْقِنُونَ. Here iman, there yaqeen. So this complete congruence of knowledge and action, that is the meaning of Islam. So we need to look at our own lives and say, is this how my life is operating? Or am I taking Islam piecemeal? What I like, I take. What I don't like, I don't take. Which one is it? So my life has no congruence in it. My life is in dissonance. Something I take, I like. I take something I... And then why don't you do that? No. This is haram. Allah does not like it. That itself is... If you are saying that I am leaving this to please Allah, that is a lie. Because if that was the case, then you would have left something else also which displeases Allah. But that you don't leave because that pleases you. So this issue of complete and total congruence of thought, of what we speak and our action, this is Islam. There is no compromise in that. And that is what Imam Al-Ghazali is saying. That he says, this is what produces tawakkul Allah. Because if I know that there is no one who fulfills any need except Allah, then I don't have to please anyone except Allah. I please Allah, alhamdulillah. Everyone else is also pleased with me. If I am pleasing Allah and in that process somebody is displeased with me, then who is that person? Who is the one who is displeased with somebody who pleases Allah? You know the answer, right? So then why am I bothered? Why am I concerned about that? I am trying to please Allah and someone does not like that. Why am I bothered about that person's like or dislike? The malaika made sajda to Adam alayhi salam on the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody did not like that, right? So, whose problem? That one's problem, not your problem. Allah said, make sujood. The malaika did not say, no, you see, hold on. I mean, we are supposed to make sajda to you. Yeah, they did not bring this intellectual concept of what is sajda. They're making sajda to you. Now you are telling us, make sajda to this thing here. Did the malaika say this? No. Make sajda, they made sajda. Khalas. Finished. Who used this? Who used knowledge in the wrong way? Iblis. Did Iblis refuse to make sujood to Allah? No. He did not refuse to make sajda to Allah. So what did he do? He disobeyed a hukam of Allah. He disobeyed an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe it did not make sense to him. I am deliberately using these terms because these are the terms we use today. This does not make sense to me. Making such sujood to a, what do you want to call it, a prototype or a, because Adam alayhi salam was not alive at that time. It's before the ruh was put into his body. So it did not make sense to Iblis. Why must I do this? I'm not refusing to make sajda to you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. This is something else. So your order does not make sense, therefore I do not do it. Where did it land him? This is what we are doing today. When there is a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, it doesn't make sense to me. Whereas obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, itaat of Allah is what makes sense, that this is the order of Allah. That is the only thing that needs to make sense, nothing else. Today, we do not even apply this with regard to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah made salah fard, we don't pray. Allah made salah fard in the masjid, we don't come to the masjid. Where to go from here? I mean, the foundation itself is not there. So where to go from here? If the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot wake you up in the morning, how is this, whatever you like to call it, if this is iman, how is this iman going to save you when you meet Malakul Maut? How is this iman going to help you when you are in your qabr? I mean, when do we want to stop fooling ourselves? How long do we want to fool ourselves? Because you're not fooling anybody else. You are not fooling anybody else. You're fooling yourself. How long do you want to live like this? Do we really have iman? There's somebody who sleeps through salah. Not one day, every day. Does that person have iman? Maybe he must himself think. One can understand some, you know, out of the blue, someday some major thing happened and you were, you know, carrying bricks all day or something and so you got tired. This is a regular phenomenon with the majority of our Muslim brothers and sisters. They sleep through Fajr. How do you sleep? If you are sleeping through Salatul Fajr, do you have iman? Fundamental question. I'm not even going. Yesterday I mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah about the person whose head was crushed and so on. Well, leave that. So let us talk about the simple fundamental question. Do you have iman? If the answer is yes, then you please explain to me, if you have iman, how did you sleep through Fajr? As simple as that. We don't have to go anywhere. We don't need some Mufti Azam to give you a fatwa for this. This is between you and Allah Jalla Jalla. If you say you have iman, how did you sleep through Fajr? If you slept through Fajr, and if you do not have iman, then how are you going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you die? Just last night, one of my, make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her Jannatul Firdausul A'la, and may Allah grant the parents and the grandparents sabr. One of my nieces, my father's cousin's granddaughter, 23 years old, died last night. She had some, they said she had dengue and it some complication. She started vomiting blood, passed away last night. 23 years old. So what is the guarantee? What's the guarantee for you? What's the guarantee for me? This statement of mine, you would have heard this a million times in your life from a million people. It's not only me. Everybody says this. I'm sure even you would have said it to somebody. What value is that? If that cannot wake you up for Salatul Fajr, I am not even talking about Tahajjud, I am not talking about this Zuhud, and I am not talking about fasting, Nafil fasting. I am talking about the basic, absolute, foundational, fundamental principle of Islam, which is Aqimus Salah. Then where is the congruence? Where is the iman? If we are not doing this, and if that is the case, then what will happen when Malakul Maut comes to say Salaam Alaikum? And that is going to happen whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. Absolutely no problem with that. Please deny, ignore, do what you want. We will go. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to open our eyes before they are opened for us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to straighten our lives and to understand Islam and to practice Islam as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.